From the dinosaurs and the glaciers to the first native peoples and the first European settlers, from Dutch and English colonial rule to the American Revolution, from the slave society to the Civil War, from the robber barons and bootleggers to the war heroes and the happy rise of craft beer pubs, the Hudson Valley has a very, very deep history. The collection, essay collection, The Hudson Valley, the first 250 million years, chronicles the Valley's rich and fascinating history and charms. We welcome writer and editor David Levine to tell us about his book, The Hudson Valley, the first 250 million years, which is now out in paperback. He was with us last when it was just out in hardcover, and it's a pleasure to welcome David back to the program. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me back.
It's really nice to have you on the program and talk about this subject. Remind us why you thought this was a good idea.
So I'm a freelance journalist, and I've been writing for Hudson Valley Magazine and Westchester Magazine for 15 years or so. And for a long stretch of those years, I was doing a regular monthly history column. And in about 2019, I realized that I had close to 100 articles all sitting on my computer. And I thought, maybe this would be a nice book. We package them. We put them in semi-chronological order. There aren't any books out there that I knew of that were more of a popular history of the region. They're very academic and scholarly histories, but none with sort of the lighter journalistic touch that I bring to it. So I put all those articles together, edited them into a semi-cohesive format, sent it off to a few publishers, and one was happy enough to buy it.
Well, it's such a huge subject, but you wanted it to be that. You didn't say, okay, we're going to look at 100 years, we're going to look at 50 years, we're going to look at the whole thing.
Right. Again, because it's sort of a lighter history, these are shorter essays. I don't go 700 pages on Alexander Hamilton like some people might. I go 3.5 pages.
Paid off for that guy, though.
It certainly did. Maybe I made a mistake. It could have been an error in judgment, but... But mine are, like I said, they're essays. They're 500 to 2,000 words long. They're lighter. They're breezier. They're funny at times. So they're not scholarly deep dives into any of these subjects, but they touch a lot on all of them. And I think they give people a sense of the broad scope and history of this region, which is immense.
When you think about the putting the essays together, so how did you coordinate that of who's going to write what, when, how?
Well, like I said, these are all articles that were written over the course of 15 years for the magazine.
Yeah.
That I authored. I did all the research. I interviewed all the experts.
But even that, I guess that's what I'm getting at is of who to discuss. When you say, okay, I want to do a piece on this, of how you find that person who's the expert that we'll talk about.
Gotcha. Journalism, you know, you do a quick or not so quick Google search. You find out for instance, the first chapter is on the dinosaurs. We thought it'd be really interesting to see, you know, what was this land like 250 million years ago when all the continents were mashed together and this part of the world was actually down somewhere near the equator. There's a set of dinosaur footprints at the State Museum. I tracked down the scientist who actually discovered those and talked to him as an expert about the paleontological history of this region. So, you know, experts abound for almost any subject you can think of, and they're pretty easy to track down.
What were the challenges?
Some people were harder to find. Some topics were not maybe as interesting as they seemed to be at first drop. So, I mean, some ideas were just never followed through on. But mostly people are really happy to talk about what they know about. One of the great things about being a journalist is that people like to discuss their expertise. So pick any subject and you'll find somebody who's willing to talk to you for hours.
Why is this? I think we talked about this the last time you were here. In fact, I know we did. But what is it about this region that is so fascinating and is so deep in history? Because it has so many facets to it.
Right. It's one of the only, if not the, well, it's not the only, but it's one of the only places in this country that has 400 years of European history, for one. You know, we go back to the 1600s, which Boston also does and maybe parts of Virginia do, but nowhere else does. We've got Dutch history that literally no one else does in this country. So we've got that as a difference. We are in a particularly beautiful geological region. We have the river, and the valley itself is really what grounds this region. It was the centerpiece of the Hudson River Art School, which was the first major American art school in this country. And that's all because of the landscape and the nature, the natural beauty of this area. We were central in the Revolutionary War. We were a big player in the Civil War, though there were no battles here. We were the richest and most active state in the Union. We supplied the most people and the most money. So New York State in general, and the Hudson Valley in particular, has just been central to almost every aspect of American history.
And you look at history, you look at the arts, you look at really pretty much anything. As we mentioned, there are so many facets. When you have to be interested in this, right? You have to have a fascination
of course.
In this.
Yes.
Yeah. So how does that play into it?
I'm pretty much interested in learning about anything I don't know. I'm one of those people who hates not knowing stuff.
Yeah.
So if there's a topic that, for instance, a lot of these stories came from my editor. And they were based on events that were happening somewhere in the Hudson Valley. Maybe an artist was having an exhibit, and the magazine wanted to say, well, let's discuss this artist. And I didn't know who he was or she was. But I really like digging into it and seeing who they were. Why are they interesting? Why do we care? And there's almost always good reasons for that.
Yeah, it is. There are almost always good reasons. It isn't all wine and roses either. There's some really dark spots here.
Of course, one of the biggest chapters and one of the most I've gotten the most feedback on was the history of African Americans in this area.
Right.
And the fact that many people in the North don't realize how entrenched slavery was up here. And New York was at one point it had more slaves than most states in the South. And slaves were a big part of this economy and the social structure of New York and the Hudson Valley, where a lot of the farms were run by slaves. They were treated as poorly as anywhere else. And a lot of people like to think, oh, in the North, we were better somehow, which, of course, is ludicrous. A slave is a slave, and it's a horrible lifestyle. So there are very dark moments in our history like anywhere else.
And also, of course, we talk about, I mean, a large part of this is the river, right? I mean,
yes.
It's the Hudson River,
mm-hmm.
And I guess I probably should have asked this at the very beginning of your definition of the Hudson Valley.
Yeah, that's open for debate. For the magazines I work for, they tend to go from New York City, Westchester, up to Albany, Rensselaer County.
Yeah.
The book also sort of treads a little bit into Saratoga, a little bit into Schenectady County, but we kind of ended here. Of course, the river keeps going up into the mountains, and stuff has happened up there as well.
Right, but here are the clouds.
Yes, exactly. But for my book's purposes, it's pretty much from Albany and Troy south.
And so when we go back to the dark parts of the history, of course, the environmental story of the Hudson River, which is certainly by comparison more recent, but has been going on for decades.
Right. I mean, the river has been central. It's why the natives settled here. It's why the Revolutionary War's early battles were focused here. The river was instrumental in who won the war. Both sides needed to control the Hudson River in order to win the war. And there were great battles up and down the river. So there's great stories about that. Navigation before the railroads, the boats that came up from New York City, the steamboats helped populate the area. The railroads populated the area. So it's all based around the river, which also comes from our time as a glacial era, which is another favorite chapter of mine, how the glaciers affected this area and carved out what we now live in and of what's given us, I mean, such a great place to live and created so much history.
David Levine is our author. He's an author too. He's our guest, but he's an author of the new book, which is out in paperback, "The Hudson Valley: The First 250 Million Years." I just want to get these events in case we don't have time at the end. But David will be signing copies of the book at the Albany Institute of History and Art in Albany this Sunday, March 26th at 2 p.m. He'll be at the Desmond Fish Public Library in Garrison in an event co-hosted by Split Rock Books on Saturday, the 8th of April at 2 p.m. and at our friends The Golden Notebook in Woodstock, New York on Saturday, the 22nd of April, also at 2 p.m. There's also signed copies available at Rough Draft Bar and Books in Kingston, New York. So a lot of places. I assume from the hardcover, those events are still fun.
They are still fun. Last time I was here, you may not remember, but it was about 4 weeks before that little thing called COVID settled over the world. So I had a dozen events set up. They were all, or most of them were canceled. So I had to do a lot of stuff by Zoom. A lot of stuff just never happened. So this is great. It's giving me another opportunity to get out there and talk to people in person. So I'm very excited to be able to do this.
When you talk about the book, is there a good like kickoff of here's something that wouldn't happen anywhere else?
A lot of things wouldn't happen anywhere else, but one of my favorite stories and one that gets the most reaction is the story of Hudson, New York. Hudson, for those of you not familiar, which most of you probably are, is about 100 and some miles from the Atlantic Ocean. The town was built out of farmland by whaling executives in the late 1700s and early 1800s, and it became a whaling center when the British blocked a lot of whaling endeavors out of New England. So some people scooted around looking for a place where they could set up a new whaling port, and they did it at Hudson, New York, which is really interesting. A lot of that history has been lost, but for 60 years or so, Hudson and a couple of other areas around that region were big centers of whaling, which was one of the biggest industries of the 18th century, or 19th century.
As you follow these stories and put them together and investigate them so closely, do you get a sense of how we can avoid losing these stories to history in the future?
I hope people like me who write about them and get them out there. I hope teachers incorporate.
That's a good sales job. That's good. Yeah, that's a good plug.
Teachers get some of this stuff. And in fact, some of these chapters have been adapted for some curriculum. The New Jersey School District, in fact, took the slavery article and is incorporating it into their curriculum. So a lot of it is up to teachers bringing it to the attention of children and us talking about it, because we are very lucky to live in this region. A lot has happened here, a lot of great stuff, some not so great stuff that needs to be remembered. And it is, like you said, worth preserving.
And you're still finding things out.
Oh, sure. I still write for both those magazines. I still do history columns. It's pretty endless. I think I could, you know, I could write another book if somebody would be interested in publishing it. I probably have enough articles to do volume two. You know where to find me.
That's right. Yeah, it's not that hard. Just go online.
Yeah.
You can find David there.
Exactly.
The book is The Hudson Valley, The First 250 Million Years. It chronicles the valley's rich and fascinating history and charms. It is now out in paperback. David is going to be the Albany Institute of History and Art in Albany on Sunday at 2 p.m. Desmond Fish Public Library in Garrison, co-hosted by Split Rock Books on Saturday, April 8th at 2 p.m. and Golden Notebook in Woodstock on Saturday, the 22nd at 2 p.m. And as I mentioned, signed copies also available at Rough Draft Bar and Books in Kingston. David Levine, a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you, Joe. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Have a beautiful weekend. Thanks
you
for sharing with us. Again, the name of the book, The Hudson Valley, The First 250 Million Years. It is out now in paperback. David Levine is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.